Welcome to Market Week in Review for the week ending September 13th, 2019. I'm Sophie Antal-Joubert, and I'm joined today by our senior investment strategist, Paul Eidelman. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Sophie. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, same to you.
So a lot's been happening this week. I'm glad that we have a chance to sort of pick your brain this morning on three topics that seem to have made headlines and moved markets this week. One is European Central Bank had a meeting and made some pretty big policy announcements and policy changes.
Yep.
I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Second is we had some updates yet again in the trade arena, this time good updates. So let's hear your thoughts on that. And then lastly, those two items and others also moved equity markets globally this week. So maybe you can give us a little bit of highlights on that. Sound good?
Yeah, it does.
All right. So starting maybe in Europe, the European Central Bank had a meeting earlier this week and came out and announced some pretty big policy changes. Can you walk us through what those were and what the potential implications might be?
Yeah. So Mario Draghi, in one of his last meetings now as the head of the ECB, launched a pretty big package of stimulus measures for Europe. So they did a number of things. They cut interest rates. So they took their deposit rate from minus 40 basis points to minus 50 basis points, so very, very low and accommodative on interest rates. They kind of boosted their bank lending scheme called TLTROs. So they've enhanced them that if banks satisfy certain lending conditions, they can borrow from the ECB for minus 50 basis points, basically get paid by the ECB to lend money out into the real economy. And so if consumers and businesses are confident, that could be very, very stimulative in sort of a positive scenario in the year ahead. And then the final piece, which I think investors were most kind of keyed in on, was their asset purchase program. So they've now restarted quantitative easing and done it in an open-ended way, which is new for the European Central Bank. So they're basically going to keep buying 20 billion euros a month in government bonds until they feel more confident about their inflation objective. And that was a pretty big announcement and a positive surprise for markets. So I think that was all kind of positive in an overarching sense, and that's probably the key takeaway here. There is an interesting angle, though, that this is probably one of the last big bullets that the ECB has here, because interest rates are so low in Europe
now. At minus 50.
Yeah, when we think about the purpose of QE, it is to lower long-term interest rates. And so there's only so much they can really do here. But this was a positive step to push back against some of the downside risks they're seeing.
It sounds almost like installment two or episode two of the commitment to we'll do whatever it takes that Draghi had committed to a number of years ago.
I think so.
So with that happening in Europe, do we see any translation or any sort of, you know, side effects on the Fed and Fed policy maybe?
Well, they're thinking about easing as well. We had that July rate cut. There's a really important meeting for the Fed coming up next Wednesday, and we think they're going to cut interest rates again. And the Fed's calculus is similar in many ways to the European Central Bank. It's just not quite as severe in terms of the policy response that's needed. The Fed's dealing with inflation expectations that are too low, so that probably warrants a rate cut. And they're seeing the same downside risk to the global economy from trade and other factors that Europe is. And that combination, we think, will lead them to cut interest rates next week. There have been some speculation or some asks that maybe the Fed also take interest rates into negative territory, but I think we're a long way from that in terms of the health we're seeing from the U.S. consumer and other factors. I don't think that's necessarily warranted here, but a small rate cut probably will happen next week.
So you mentioned trade policy and that factoring into the Fed's decision. We did have some actually good news on the trade front this week. Can you share with us what the highlights were from your perspective?
Well, yeah, I think we've talked for a long time about trade policy being this major overhang on business confidence and global growth. But this week, and probably for the last 2 weeks now, it has been incrementally more and more positive. And the news this week was both from the U.S. and Chinese side. So what the U.S. decided to do was to push back some tariffs that were threatened on August 1st as a good gesture for China going into their 70th anniversary. And so I think that was viewed positively and opened the door for some positive reactions from China as well. And we did get those just in the last 48 hours. So China has now exempted U.S. soybeans and pork from their tariff list and have instructed some of their importers to maybe start buying some agricultural products. And so these have been some of the watch points that investors have been looking at for maybe a small breakthrough back to the negotiating table and towards a deal. And I think if we were to kind of untangle the consensus and what seems to be being priced right now, I think there's an increasing anticipation that the tariffs that have been threatened on both October 15th and December 15th maybe could be taken off the table, which would be a positive outcome. We're still significantly escalated from where we were in early August or even in May for that matter, but the boil seems to be coming off a little bit on the trade tone at the margin. And so that's certainly a positive.
And markets seem to have taken to that news positively as well, seeing yep. markets up sort of globally, certainly on the equity side.
Yep.
What caught your eye?
Well, yeah, certainly positive for risk markets across the board. But I think what was maybe the most interesting this week was some of the moves under the surface of that. You know, at Russell, we have kind of heritage and focus on factor investing. And there were some pretty big moves there with the value factor cheap companies and stocks significantly outperforming the broad market and more growthy defensive tech names that have been dominating performance for the last couple of years. And that's been something that we've been leaning towards in terms of where we've seen opportunities. And when you look at the value factor now, historically, it's almost as cheap as it was going all the way back to the tech bubble of the 1990s. And so I think there's a big opportunity there for potential outperformance if some things go right. And most notably, there's been a lot of risk aversion embedded in pricing because of all of this trade uncertainty, because of the significant decline in long-term interest rates that we've seen basically since the end of last year. And at the margin, as this trade news has started to turn more positive, we're starting to see some repricing there, which has benefited that value component of the market in a pretty big way. So I think that was probably the most notable piece.
That sounds like happy news to
yep.
end on a Friday the 13th. we'll definitely look forward to hearing an update on the Fed meeting next week.
Sure.
That's all we have time for this week. But thank you again for your insights.
Yep.
And thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon.